Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, we're back to the normal routine, just the two of us.
I'm so bored already. Right? Like, I'm like, oh, but just, it's just you and I. I want more questions from live human beings, but that's okay. I say that jokingly. Yeah, we're starting to get down to the nitty gritty, right? Like, NFL camps, they're starting in July this year, right? Next couple weeks, you're going to get all your NFL camps starting. Jimmy, Penn State's camp's going to start what? Less than 2 weeks, right? Like very soon. So it is almost time, ladies and gentlemen. It is almost time, as Rafiki said in the great movie, The Lion King. It is time.
Well, it is. We are getting there. And for those who aren't aware of what we're talking about, as far as having live questions, last week, Andy and I did a fun show. We actually had a couple of listeners on the show with us live, and they got to ask questions of Andy directly. It was a lot of fun. Our thanks go out to Dwayne and Steve who joined us. What do you think, Andy? Should we do that again before the season starts?
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, and if you think about it, one of the best parts overall, Jimmy, was none of the questions started with, hey, Andy and Jim. I'm just saying, they were all directed at Andy questions. So, yeah, we should definitely do that again. I think we could, if you can get some other people, we could do it in August leading up to the season and get what the fans are thinking going into such a high expectation season. Why not?
I'll tell you what, with that in mind, you guys know where the Ask Andy button is on the app. If you want to be on the show, how about this, Andy? We'll give people a chance. Send us a note. Tell us why you think you would be good on our show. Who knows? Maybe you'll be on the show and be able to ask Andy questions directly. It was a lot of fun. Again, our thanks to Dwayne and Steve, who both did a great job last week. All right, Andy. Now it's back to you and I.
Yep.
And a couple weeks ago, we did our ranking of the position groups where we were most comfortable, where we had some issues. You could probably guess what position was ranked at the bottom, or at least we had the most questions on. What we talked about this the other day, where we should go with this week's show. And what we thought we'd do is take an even more in-depth look at some of these position groups, especially the ones that we emphasized either as the very best or the very worst.
Yeah, I think it's a great concept because we're just going to talk about Penn State, right? Like, that's what we do. Let's do it. Let's say why we think they're elite and why they struggle in a deep dive way.
It is a great topic, and it was you, Andy, who came up with the topic. So
yeah, well, I just thought
give credit
it was...
where it's due. Just accept the compliment, Andy. Good idea. Let's get started. And now here's what's interesting. At the very top of the heap, our best position group. It wasn't that you and I didn't think the other guy's answer was a good one, but we did have a different idea, and I think it may have been a little bit interpretation. You, Andy, thought the offensive line was at the very top position group. I said I thought it was running back. Let's look at both those groups, and of course, they have a lot to do with each other. They're very complementary. Where you want to start, Andy?
Yeah,
with your group or mine?
Mine. Let's just say they're friends in low places, right? Like, so I went with the offensive line and the strength. I think going into the 2025 season, it's the best offensive line in the country, not only across the five that are going to be starting, but I think you go 6, 7, and 8, and I still think they come out number one. The reason I did it is because, A, the way they developed as a group last year and finished, and the way they performed throughout the playoffs. And, you know, what they have coming back is more than they ever expected, right? For me, it starts with the three tackles. I think Nolan Rucci sort of has, he's the curveball, right? He's created serious opportunity for himself. I'm going into this year, he's a top 10 or 15 prospect at tackle in the NFL draft next year, right now, already, right now, without him. I think Drew Shelton, the left tackle, is a top 5 prospect in the upcoming NFL draft. There's no argument about that. He might even be a first round pick. I think he's really close right now, but he's not quite asserted himself at that like top level where he would be. Yeah, that guy needs to be drafted in the first round. I think of the top 10 tackle prospects, Drew Shelton has most upside of any of them. That's the unbelievable part. And he will work on his craft. And if he takes his pass pro blocking to the next level, to like elite, with his athleticism and pure raw power that we already know about, he's shown everybody that he's got it and the skills he has, he's a first round pick. And here's the thing, Jimmy. Dude, did we forget about Anthony Donka? Arguably, when they played last year, like he had to fight for the position and won the job. He was the best tackle, might have even been the best offensive lineman when he played last year before he got hurt. That's crazy. The injury was a major one. He's coming off a major injury. He's a redshirt sophomore. You know, I hope he recovers and can be back in it and let his talent show. Would you consider right tackle? Here, Jimmy, just quick question. Do you consider right tackle an open competition position? It was a year ago, right? Do you consider it that way again?
It depends on your definition of open position battle. I think Nolan Rucci will get the... I'm going to use logic here, Andy, okay? Crazy thought using logic, but when a guy's coming off an injury, you know, there's the old saying, you don't lose your position through injury. Well, yes, you do, okay? Nolan Rucci stepped in and played really well. And I think by having Nolan Rucci be the first man up there, it gives them the opportunity to say, hey, we're taking it slow with Anthony Donka. Doesn't matter how healthy he is. It gives them a non-talent reason to go one way or the other. And especially with these three scrimmages they have to start the season, they can bring Anthony Donka along at whatever speed they want, bringing him in. And what it also does is it gives them the opportunity, if Nolan Rucci doesn't follow up his excellent conclusion of last season with that same kind of level of performance, hey, we got Anthony Donka all ready to come in, and we just say, hey, he's healthy. Now, you're shaking your head like you're scoffing when I said that Nolan Rucci.
It's ridiculous to have that as an option. Like Anthony Donka, arguably the best offensive lineman when he was healthy and played last year, definitely the best of the tackles. He's like your third wheel now.
Okay, let me ask you a question here, Andy, and see if this is crazy talk for a solution. One of the things that this team did quite a bit last year, and you know where I'm headed with this, Sandy.
Gosh, the guy running in motion.
You know I love...
It's a gimmick.
That sixth offensive lineman. Can you, if you put a Vega Ioane in motion doing his thing as the sixth lineman, would you somehow find a way to put Rucci and Donka in at the same time? Would you play one of them at guard? Or would you bring in somebody else to play that guard position that Vega Ioane is vacating?
For like the three plays a game that you do it, I would bring one of the tackles in. But that's...
One of the tackles or one of the guards?
No, I would bring a tackle.
Okay.
I would bring a tackle in and just you're trying to plow a cornfield, just plow it. Bring one of those tackles in. They're the best offensive linemen. But yeah, that's the ridiculousness of the riches at the tackle position, right? So then Nick Dawkins is your center, right? Smart decision. Great I thought he had a great first year as a number one center. Smart decision, I think, to load up on the NIL cash and come back for another year. He's got some ground to cover as an NFL prospect, but I just love the way the kid plays and the way he handles his business. And I think there's a spot for him as an NFL interior utility interior guy going forward. That's what you got at center, right? Vega has the most upside of any experienced lineman at Penn State. Right now, you look at him, he's sort of a mid-round NFL draft prospect, but he's got another level, right? You know that. And if he finds it, he is, with his athleticism and the film he's already laid down, he will, if he plays at the next level, he will soar up draft boards. There's no doubt about it. And then you get to your new jack, right? Your greenhorn, which is Cooper Cousins. He's going to start at right guard. He's just going to be ridiculous good. That's all I have to say. If he's healthy, he's hardly played, right? And in that little bit that he plays, you could already see, like, oh my gosh, this guy's a first round or second round NFL draft pick. Already you see that in a crumbs and limited body of work. I was like, it's healthy. He has a bright future full of enormous upside. And Penn State gets the first bite of that apple up front in 2026. In other words, he's got everything around him and you don't have to worry about him being a star. And lastly, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Andy, here's the interesting thing and the superlatives that we keep throwing out there. A year ago, before he was hurt, there was an argument that Anthony Donka was the best offensive lineman they had. Okay,
he was. Right, that's
now with Nolan Rucci's performance, we don't know if Anthony Donka is the best right tackle, okay, on the team. We have Drew Shelton, the experience, the most responsible position at left tackle. Hey, you could argue first-round draft pick, as good a tackle as there might be in the country. You have Vega Ioane, who the combination of size and athleticism, hey, just – you know, brute maybe strength. Throw him out there as the best high side. And then, oh, by the way, Cooper Cousins, who is yet to be a starter, he's got probably the highest ceiling among this whole group. So I've mentioned every one of those linemen except Nick Dawkins, who's kind of that glue that keeps it all together. He's now the veteran center. Andy, this is a crazy good offensive line. And we haven't yet hit on some of the depth that they have coming. And you know what, Andy? I want to address, are they the best offensive line in the country or not? We're going to do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He is Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. Andy is all psyched today. He's all up. It's because he loves talking about the offensive line.
I do.
And he thinks, because I've been giving all these superlatives about the offensive line, that I've changed my mind and I'm going to agree with him that it's the best group. Hold on till we get to talk about the running backs. But let's get back to this offensive line, Andy. And you said you felt this is the best offensive line in the country.
I
want so badly to say that, but I'll be honest here. I really don't know. Okay, offensive line, that's a tough group to evaluate. And for me to say I know how good Notre Dame's offensive line is. I don't. Okay. I saw the two teams play last year. I thought Penn State's was better. But let me tell you what I do know. I saw one evaluation that had top 10 offensive lines in the country and didn't have Penn State in the top 10. That's ridiculous, okay?
Yeah.
And if I'm not ready to declare this the best offensive line in the country, I just can't imagine someone being better. Maybe as good, Andy, but I can't imagine them being better. And the point that you made, which I will conclude with, is at the end of the season last year, through the conference championship game and the playoffs and even a loss to Notre Dame, they were just hitting their stride. And I think that performance at the end of the year will be an indicator of how they'll play this year, because they're bringing almost everyone back. And they were doing this with, you know, perhaps their best offensive lineman to that point, Anthony Donka, out. And a backup, I'm using air quotes here, for Nolan Rucci was in.
Yeah. The last third of the regular season through the playoffs, if you didn't rank Penn State in the top 10 going into this season, then you just don't know ball, and you're just a dumb arse that's given a space and a laptop to work with, because that's ridiculous. You just have to look at who they have and what they've done and look at their NFL prospects. I mean, think about it. They go eight deep too, Jimmy. One of their tackles, someone that plays tackle, is going to be a reserve, right? Javon Williams and Alex Birchmeyer, they're your two key reserves, right? You want them inside preferably, but there's a little bit of swing available in them. They're eight deep. And I know Williams and Birchmeyer have had limited top line reps, but you've seen enough to know that they are real. Some of their talent has been realized. And if they're needed, I don't think there's one little bit of concern for Penn State putting either one of those guys out on the field. That's your backups. That's your backups. Backups. And I just think, you know, I think Notre Dame has a very good offensive line. I think there's three or four others that are very good. I can't find one that has NFL talent / NFL next level potential and depth the level that Penn State has. And they spent probably the better part of six or seven games opening up a can of whoop you know what on whoever was across for them week after week after week.
I'm glad, Andy, you brought up the next level. Birchmeyer, Javon Williams, I'll throw in Chimney Ono. Also, they are all redshirt sophomores. Their third year in the system as offensive linemen. This is their time to start to show it. It's great depth. And then the next in line, the redshirt freshman, Egan Boyer, Garrett Sexton, Caleb Brewer.
Too deep.
This is now, it's a machine now at offensive line.
Yeah, they're not going to play.
No, they won't. But they're next after next, Andy. The depth is there. Coach Troutwine, a lot of credit goes out to him. The guys he's bringing in, the development, everything. Great job. The only place that might be better, Andy, is running back. All right, let's shift there. Here's my argument for running back being the number one position group. Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. All right. You only have to have one running back out there at a time. And they've got a two deep that it might be All-American starting, All-American backing them up.
Yeah. Penn State's running back position is Nick Catron, Singleton Allen. That's what it is. That it just put hyphens in there and put one name on the back of a jersey, because they're two for one. This will be their fourth full season, right?
Yeah.
Fourth full season. They're both coming off 1,000 yards. They're the same but different. They're the best 1-2 combination in college football. They're two of the top five running backs in the country coming into this season. It is. They're productive in any and every way possible. A, the running game, that matters. B, I think they're way better catching the ball out of the backfield. than most give them full credit for, right? Because you just get so lost in what great runners they are. And, you know, there's a reason Drew Aller can do a little bit of what he does and find some guys down the field. They can pick up blitzes and are they're willing and capable. It's a combination as a running back. Are you willing and are you capable? You know, you could be capable, but man, I don't like stepping in there and getting run over like a truck, right? Like, who would? You're a running back. You earn your chops avoiding people. But both of these guys are willing and capable blockers. Very underrated aspect. They're just versatile, dynamic weapons that have NFL careers staring right down the barrel at them. And you get them together for the fourth straight year. Ridiculous.
It is, Andy. And I just want to add, I'm really glad you talked about their ability to blitz pickup. And you talk about, as running backs, your typical mindset is avoiding contact. But neither one of these guys is afraid of contact, even when running the ball. They're right. Both capable of running people over. They're willing to do it. So, to your point, they are willing blitz pickup guys. They gladly do it. They put someone on their backside gladly. And there was a play last year, I can't recall who it was against, where Nick Singleton, the blitz pickup, he puts a linebacker on his butt, then goes out, catches a swing pass, and runs somebody else over, okay? There's the attitude you have. Now, that is why, to me, this is All-American starting, All-American backing up. The fact that they both could play in place of each other creates a depth, and it creates you're not going to wear these guys out giving one guy 30 carries because you have the other guy coming in. In the fourth quarter, these guys are still rested and ready. Okay, so the fact that they have each other there actually makes them both better. And Andy, you have this great offensive line in front of them. It's getting ridiculous. You know what gives me thought of? Saquon Barkley in the NFL. You saw him behind the New York Giants offensive line. Then you saw him behind the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, Andy. Okay. Right.
Kind of the same player, not injured last year, but 90% of the same player. I know. Saquon Barkley was always that good. He just, every running back needs a little help. These two are going to get it because there's plenty of it in front of them. They're going to get help.
It makes really good players great when you have the offensive line. Andy, in these last couple of minutes, let's talk about RB number three. Wallace is the redshirt sophomore coming off an injury. Understanding is he's there. He's 100%. You still have the redshirt freshman, Quentin Martin, Corey Smith. Both have shown some things. And don't forget Tyke Hayes, the true freshman, and Jabri Coleman. Deeper. Who do you like among these, the next level?
I just think Wallace has earned his chops to be the guy that if there's third snaps for a running back in this offense with Nick Catron, Singleton, Allen, the one name duo at running back. If there's third available, I think he deserves it over everybody else right now because I think he's shown he can do a little something with it. I think they will work, particularly in these first three games. They will get the starters what they need to get, and then they will – I think the defensive tackle position and the running back depth position will be the big feature sort of things that you'll take away from. Everyone thinks it's going to be wide receiver because you'll learn so much in those first three games. I don't believe that. I think it's the depth at the running back you'll learn a lot more about, and you'll learn more about the rotation at defensive tackle through the junior varsity scrimmage part of their schedule.
I feel like your choice of that third running back. You pick Cam Wallace. Again, he's the veteran of the group as a redshirt sophomore, but he's coming over injury. I think it's almost, what flavor of ice cream do you like? Okay.
Yeah. Give me Neapolitan. I'll take a little of all three.
Yeah. I kind of like Quentin Martin. I think he showed us.
I like Quentin Martin a lot. Yeah.
I think, you know, the ability to catch the ball. I think that if you're going to be that additional running back in the lineup, instead of just being the third running back who gets those crumbs of, you know, carries, but if you want someone positionally to come in as an additional running back, his ability to catch the ball, I think, gives him an advantage in that aspect.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you're going to see all of it in the first three games. I think you're going to see a lot. The first three games I feel like they're going to be what you like, kind of like a spring game. Who inevitably ends up, do you learn or shines and you do learn a little bit more about in spring games? It's the running backs. I think you're going to learn a little bit more about what's coming and what the pecking order might look like behind, you know, the dynamic duo.
Yeah, Andy, essentially, those first three games, they're a glorified blue-white game,
scrimmage.
Except there's not as much talent on the other side of the ball that you're facing. All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number two. When we come back, guess what? It's your questions we're going to ask Andy. Stay tuned for that.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's your questions and we ask Andy. If you want to send in a question for Andy, remember, download the app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. And don't forget, we're going to do another show with our listeners. We're going to do it next month.
Yeah, I think August is a good month.
Yep. If you want a chance, go to the Ask Andy button. Send us in the reason why you should be the guy on our show. All right, Andy, let's get started with this week's questions. Who knows? Maybe Mike from Baltimore will tell us why he wants to be part of the show. Mike says, this is Mike, remember, via Marion Heights, and he did point out to us, we were right, he's from like that Mont Carmel, Shmokin area.
Up
That's
dark.
Where Marion Heights is.
Up
he
dark.
Says, Andy, which of these four non-Penn State games would you most like to attend?
Oh, great question. Already great question.
Texas at Ohio State. LSU at Clemson, Texas at Georgia, or Alabama at LSU, and why? Jim, I would also like to hear your answer, and I love the show. Well, Mike, thank you. We always appreciate hearing those kind of words. What's it going to be, Andy? Which game you want to see?
So I'm gonna eliminate Texas just because, they got two bites of the apple, and I'd rather watch Texas on TV. And going to the horseshoe, not interested in that. Where's the other game? What was the other Texas game it was at?
At Georgia.
Yeah, okay, there's always something cool about going down between the hedges. But that's an SEC game, right? Like, that's a conference game. You could get that game again later in the year when both teams are fully developed in the conference championship. So if I'm going to pick that game, I'd rather go to that game and take my chances that it'll be in Atlanta at the, you know, at the Dome in Atlanta later in the year for the SEC championship game. LSU's in there. LSU and Clemson. That's where I'm going to go, Mike. I'm going to go LSU Clemson. I think it's a quarterback versus quarterback matchups I like. So these are two good quarterbacks, right? So you're going to get good quarterback versus good quarterback. Everybody else around them comes into play after that. They could sort of be the two players that play each other on an equal level playing field. Then it becomes about everybody else around them. I kind of like those kind of games. Partial to Clemson going to the, I just think it's a cool place to go watch a college football game. I love going to Clemson. And LSU is kind of one of those box of chocolates teams that you just never really know what you're going to get to a degree. And it could be so entertaining and good. And then they could also fall off the side of a cliff in a hurry, particularly under Brian Kelly. So it's a very fine line. I like teams that live on the edge and the fine line like that. So I'm going LSU Clemson.
I like your answer, Andy. Texas at Ohio State, you know, I think that may have the most effect on things. Southeast Conference, Big Ten. I've been to Columbus for a game. I don't need to go there again. I love that LSU at Clemson. My only other thought would be Alabama at LSU. I'm kind of curious what the atmosphere is like at LSU.
Yeah, Baton Rouge is awesome. Yeah, that's a great call, Jimmy. All right.
Let's go to John in Kingston. He says, on an earlier show, Jim said that Abdul Carter was the 33rd ranked linebacker in his recruiting class.
Correct.
During his freshman year, it was obvious, even to the casual fan, that this was the next great Penn State linebacker. Do you think it was more a case of him being way underrated or a tremendous job of developing his talent?
Oh, man, that's a toughie. I don't think he was underrated because I'll tell you why. Because I watched him play in high school. And while he was effective and good, he looked like an FBS recruit. He looked like an elite player on the field. But he didn't, like, at least a couple times that I saw him play in person in high school, I didn't walk away with my jaw hanging open. I'll never forget. It might have been his first college game where he got – the one where he got ejected for targeting. Was that his first game?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're watching that. And, okay, it was targeting. The reaction and the way he closed space and made green grass eviscerate getting to the football, I it was almost like I was watching it on click replay, like I had it in the film room, and I just kept going back. Because live, my jaw was like, that was targeting. And then I just remember it distinctly, and I was like, I don't care that it's targeting. Oh, my freaking gosh! Did you see that? That human being was shot out like a cannon. What the heck was that? And I just kept watching it, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. This kid's going to be ridiculous.
Andy, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit in that I do think he was underrated coming out of high school because of that ranking. But it also, two points on this. Number one, there are so many high school players. There are guys who go to this camp but not that camp or don't go to the camps. So that visibility and you make one outstanding play. I'll put this out as something. When we talk about the wide receivers and Kyren Hudson, he made that catch against LSU for USC last year. It was one play. I saw that and said, oh, my gosh, what an incredible player. Okay, that's our instinct. That's the way we react, and that's how these scouts do this. I think, number one, it's a tough job that those recruiting services do. And the second thing is you got to give some credit to the people who do the recruiting at the individual schools. Penn State, and this is good. I'm going to give the next question. We'll tie right into this, but it's sometimes you have to trust that the scouts on Penn State, Alabama, Ohio State, they know more than those scouting services. And as an example, I just saw or heard on a show someone talking about Alabama. They would bring in these former head coaches as analysts, and they would do all this scouting, all this watching of high school tape. Just they had more eyeballs on it, and they were able to find these hidden gems in so many places, guys that were overlooked. And I think that's the case too. And I think Penn State does a pretty good job at it. I think Penn State knew Abdul Carter was going to be Abdul Carter before other places did, to their credit. That segues us very well into Sam from Bedford, who says, for a great recruiter, James Franklin seldom gets a top 10 class. Would you consider that disappointing? And what do you attribute it to? Also, then, the team seems to outperform their recruiting ranking. Do you give them credit for that?
Good question. Great question, Sam, actually. Last thing on Abdul Carter, and this fits into it. In high school, one of the reasons he might have been underrated like you thought, Jimmy, they just kind of freelanced him, especially his senior year. He really didn't play linebacker. He just kind of played football player. Wherever they wanted to move him to and create a little space for him, they just kind of floated him around. But your question's really good. So I don't think it's a problem, Sam. I really don't. And I think we talked about this. We might have addressed this last week with our listeners, or we've done it recently, that where we've talked about Penn State and recruiting, that James isn't necessarily looking for the quote-unquote best guys, always. He's looking for talent, but he's looking for the right guys, right? There's a sort of dynamic and sort of a platform that and a process that he goes through, and he's looking for the right guys, and the football part of it is 75% of the equation, but the other 25% matters just as much, even though it's a lesser number. It still matters. So that's why he's kind of looking for that. He's just not looking for the best ones. He's looking for the right ones. And you're right, Sam, that he seems to be getting more mileage out of what would be considered a little bit less. And that is where his coaching staff and the assistants come in. It's about talent development. And they are doing, now they're doing it on the offensive line. Jaywon Sider, who's now no longer there, has done it at running back consistently for 8-10 years. Right, Jimmy? You know, the talent development on the defensive line is next level. The last few years, the linebackers coach has been the defensive coordinator, right? That's no longer the case. Look for more talent development at the linebacker position. I'm sorry, Terry Smith is just really good at his job at coaching cornerbacks. That's talent development, right? Like, that's where it comes from, is, and they're doing it better than most, and they might be doing it with a little less, but it's the right guys. They don't want the best guys. They're looking for the right guys.
Andy, I'm going to give you my theory, and it ties in pretty much with what you said. First of all, I think there's a handful of players every year. Let's call them the five stars. They're the obvious guys. Big, strong, fast, superior athletes to everybody else. They're locked into their position. This guy's a defensive end, and he's the best at it. Anyone in the country would want them. There's no character issues, whatever. The very, very elite teams with recruiting, and you hear me mention them all the time, Andy, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, they get their pick of those guys. No other school gets that the same way on such a regular basis.
Correct.
Now, Penn State then has to be a little bit smarter with their recruiting, with their evaluation. And I think they're very good at not just chasing stars. Okay, this guy's a 4-star, we're after him. No, maybe there's a guy who's a 3-star who hasn't grown into his body yet. Or maybe he's a tweener, okay? Is he a linebacker or is he a defensive end? Or we see guys like Tony Rojas, who wasn't 200 pounds when he was coming out of high school, but within a couple months, he was 230 pounds and looked like a linebacker, okay, Andy? Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, they don't have to project. They don't have to say, oh, well, if this guy, you know, gets bigger, or if this guy, they get the guys who are already made. Then the next group of schools, they need to be able to evaluate what they are and or what they are going to be. That's the important thing. Andy, I know you want to respond to that. We're running out of time. But as is our tradition, we will drag quarter three into quarter four. I'm going to let you respond right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. And as is our tradition, we didn't wrap up our last question on Ask Andy. We were talking about recruiting, where we had the question from Sam about Penn State's recruiting. Actually, as good a recruiter as James Franklin, we all consider him to be, it's an outlier if he ever gets a top 10 class. He had one in 2022. We're still seeing the results of that, some great players. I was saying, I think it's having to be a smart recruiter, and to quote Andy, bringing in the right player is the important thing. So, Andy, you wanted to respond to that.
Well, I just wanted to give you an example of kind of what – it's a mix of kind of what you were talking about, what I was talking about, right? Like, and it's Nolan Rucci. They recruited him hard, right, out of Warwick High School in Pennsylvania. Didn't get him, Wisconsin won, right? He was a little bit on the higher end of a surefire guy, right? Like 4/5, upper 4/ whatever. He was and Wisconsin had 3 years to develop him, and they didn't. And he transferred for 1 year at Penn State, 1 year, looking for the right guys, right? Like, he's now what, 320 some pounds, 330 pounds? He's bigger. The thing that they always said, it was, well, we can't get him to put weight on and we can't get him to develop and get in the lineup. Penn State didn't have trouble putting weight on him and getting him developed and putting him in the lineup. And oh, he performed like the level he was recruited at. So that's what we're talking about, the development and the layers, like looking for. He had been thrown on the scrap heap pretty much as an offensive lineman at Wisconsin. Unrealized talent, he's a bust, right? That's what that was sort of the way it was perceived for him at Wisconsin. Comes to Penn State. It doesn't take two seasons. He only has two seasons. He has last year and this year. That's it. That's all he's got left. And it didn't even take a year. It took an offseason and a transfer and six games. And he's in the starting lineup, A, because he had to be, but he was ready. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of talent development.
And it also points to the ability of these position coaches that James Franklin has brought in. There's a lot of talent on this coaching staff. All right, Andy, let's get back to our position evaluation. In the first couple segments, we talked about the offensive line, the group that you called the top position group. Hard for me to argue with that. I had running backs as top position group. I think it's hard for you to argue with that.
Yeah, no argument there.
We went over both those groups. They're the top. If each position group, if they're not the best in the country, I'm not sure they're as good as anybody in the country. Now, Andy, let's go to where the biggest question mark is. And we both had this as our bottom position group. I'm not sure it's fair to say they're bad. But
they're bad.
They've been questionable over the last couple of years. It was pretty much a complete turnover in that room. Three promising transfers. Kyron Hudson from USC, Devontae Ross from Troy, Treber Pena from Syracuse were brought in, Andy. I know you always say, I need to see it first.
I know.
But forgetting that this is this Penn State rugged position group. They've struggled over the last couple of years. Let's not burden these three transfer players with what came before them, okay? This is independent of what happened before. Let's get the independent evaluation of those three players because they're the ones who are going to have to perform if this wide receiver group turns it around.
Yeah, they're going to one. They're going to be. They are the trio. The three of them are the ones that will be responsible for taking this position out of the Badlands because it's the outlier. Or reason I call it the Badlands. Springsteen song reference for all those out there that don't get it. The reason I call it that is they're the outlier on this team. Did the position coach deserve to probably be fired after this year? Yes. By his production? Yes, absolutely. But I 100% agree that he needs at least one more bite of the apple because you can't have more turnover. James is smarter than me. It was a strategically, absolutely 100% the right position. On his merits, he deserved to be fired. So talking about this trio, they're all from the portal. They are going to be at the top of the pecking order in terms, if there is production that comes from the position on this offense, it's going to come from those three or one of those three. And, you know, beyond them, there isn't an elite or potential elite receiver in the room. We know that. So I don't have any expectations that a recruited or developed receiver will be a key contributor in any way, shape, or form. If that happens, happy accident, right? There is some off-season hype around some of the younger recruited players. All I know is this position has not been developed. There has not been talent development all that well the last 3 years. So to me, all that offseason hype noise, it hasn't translated in the fall, so it's just noise. So as I think about the receiver position, it just pops into my head like, and I don't have an answer. I just always wonder, what happened to Caden Saunders? And then I move on, right? I'm not questioning the kid, but for such a highly recruited guy, man, it hasn't happened. So who do I think is the most likely? Like that's what you want to know. I think it's Pena. The transfer from Syracuse. There's a many 6-year player, right? He's worked at his craft for a long time. He's made himself into a well-paid transfer portal. He led the ACC in receptions a year ago. So he's seen plenty of coverage and kind of figures out he knows what he can and can't do to get himself to be productive no matter what the offense is. This is a next level offense, right? But he's been around the how to get himself open block, and he knows what it takes to do that. He's not going to be as productive. What do you have, 85 catches last year or something like that? Don't expect that. This offense has got too much balance to it and too much higher-end elite talent for him to do that. But he has the greatest production opportunity of anyone that I see right now in that room, top to bottom. So I land on Pena.
And, you know, it's interesting. I want to just go back also to our judgment of the wide receivers. Now, they weren't great. I get it.
But they were terrible.
There were some other circumstances going on here that will keep me from classifying them as terrible. What I wonder, too, is Drew Aller, did he not trust them as much as he should have?
They couldn't get open.
You also, Andy, you had an all-world tight end.
Yeah.
Who, you know, took up a lot of the receptions. Rightfully so. Okay? Yeah. Rightfully so.
You're darn rightfully so.
You also had an offense with these tremendous running backs who they played ball control an awful lot, Andy. There, if you paid attention, they weren't scoring on three plays in 45 seconds. They were holding on to the ball. It meant Drew Aller, who was this number one ranked recruit, big arm quarterback, all of that, he wasn't throwing the ball 35 times a game. He was throwing it 22, 23 times. And you add in how many throws went to the tight end position, there also was not a lot left over for the wide receivers. And I will always feel like, Andy, I was a big Trey Wallace guy. I think he could have been used more often. I think he should have been trusted more. There were balls thrown to Tyler Warren when it's like, okay, it's trust. He didn't get himself open, but you just trusted him. I think Trey Wallace deserved a little more of that kind of respect and trust. Now, let me just mention also, it's interesting the categories at this position. The three transfers, who I'll call the three starters, you then have the two veterans. You mentioned one, Caden Saunders, Liam Clifford. I think Saunders has been banged up a bit, never been 100%. Liam Clifford has just been that kind of reliable extra guy. Redshirt freshmen, though, two of them with some potential, Tyzer Denmark and Peter Gonzalez, who he was coming off an injury in high school.
Off-season noise.
Yeah, so we've been hearing something about him, some decent size. And, you know, the freshman, Lyric Samuel, I love that he's 6'4". Been hearing some good things about Kobe Howard, I believe, out of Florida also. A KJ Hamler kind of guy. A lot of different names there, Andy. I will agree with you, though, we got to see it.
We got to see it. B, Jimmy, it's been a development wasteland. They haven't developed. You know, last year, they regressed as the year went on. And they struggled more with each passing game, game 8, game 9, game 10. They had a little bit of production in the Big Ten championship game, but it manifested itself in the Notre Dame game. There was a very valid and good reason there were not any wide receivers targeted in that football game, because it wasn't worth it. Why bother? Let's figure out how we can make this offense hum with the weapons that we know can be productive. And they did it. It was amazing and it was great to watch, but that's not gonna, you can't do that at the next level, right? Like, they're gonna need some help from the wide receivers. The development and production, it just hasn't been there. They couldn't get open. They can't. That's my point. And yeah, I'm like kind of sarcastically going, off-season noise, off-season noise. It's not that they don't bring talent in. They do. They just, the talent isn't being translated into realized talent on Saturdays on the football field. And that needs to change. And they're going to try, the definition of insanity, continue to do it the same way. They're not. They brought in three transfers and they're going to be their three guys. We're going to do it differently. Coach, you got three new, you got more developed and polished products to work with. What can you do? And I think it's a great decision. And it could yield fruit. It really, really could, Jimmy. It really could.
And these three guys have shown production. They have done it at this level.
Yep.
Iron Hudson at USC. Again, you know, I'll always remember that highlight catch.
Time of the ball catch.
We also saw Traber Pena in the ACC. Devontae Ross at Troy, I know a level lower.
There's a level lower, but I still, he's productive. He knows what he's doing.
There were a lot of production. Let's keep our fingers crossed. All right, Andy, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.